Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. My guest today is Hector Ochoa Ortiz, who I had the pleasure to run into at the recent GeoMob Netherlands in Utrecht. But we first actually met when Hector interviewed me. I guess, I don't know when that was, Hector. Was it like a year ago or something?
It was kind of a year ago. Science goes slowly.
Science moves slowly, yes. So Hector was doing a research project about the corporate landscape of OSM, of OpenStreetMap. And so today, you know, the it moves slowly, but the project has progressed. And now he's going to tell us all about the outcomes of this project.
Yes.
And of course, in the meantime, Hector was recently elected to the board of the OpenStreetMap Foundation. So hopefully at the end of the show, we'll discuss that for a bit. Hector, welcome to the show. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you got into OpenStreetMap, and then we're going to dive into the project.
Yeah, thank you for having me here, Ed. We met in person finally in the Netherlands. I just happened to be around there during those days, and I gladly joined the GeoMob event in person. And it's been already a year that since we met virtually for the interview, and it's been quite a while. So personally, I'm Hector. I'm a PhD student at the University of Camerino. I started mapping 13 years ago already, quite a lot of time. I started when I was, a kid. So I'm 27 now, and 13 years ago I was 14. So
that's fantastic. That has been you started quite young then, huh?
Yeah, I started quite young.
And just for fun or for a school project or what?
For fun. Back then I was already contributing even to Wikipedia. So I've always liked these open projects. Even so, when I was so young, I was in the school, right? So I just, I've always had good sense of directions. So then kind of OpenStreetMap built in that very well. And I just loved exploring around and discovering new places. So I just went out and map, right? And then during the first years, I didn't map so much. But then later, as I turned 18, I started mapping way, way more. And I even joined the local community that just started in my home city in Spain. And since then, it's only been going forward, right? So after that, I joined more international communities. I attended my first State of the Map only two years ago. It's been going more and more every time, and I'm happy.
Congrats. So now tell us about how you decided to make this a focus of your research.
Yes, so this is all part of a European project called ODECO. So we are 15 different PhD students, all across Europe in different universities. And the goal of the project is the open data ecosystem, no? How to make it more sustainable. So some of us have different... the whole project is about making the open data ecosystem more sustainable. Each of us has a smaller project inside that bigger project. Okay. So I study about companies, some other colleagues studied about government, some other colleagues studied about user interfaces to deal with open data. And all together, we study open data from different angles. And then, because my topic was more about the companies and I had the background of OpenStreetMap, I said, okay, what a better place to study than OpenStreetMap, where companies are actually contributing to open data willingly, right? So I think it's a really great project to study and make a case study out of it, right?
Okay, so what was the methodology? How did you go about trying to understand this? What was the main question you're trying to ask of how to make the ecosystem more sustainable, or the motivations of the company, or what's the end goal?
So the main thing was to just understand how was the current situation of the ecosystem, right? Because this was at the beginning of my research. So I wanted to see how are companies contributing right now, to then see how to improve that to make it more sustainable, right? So first of all, the idea was to identify which companies are contributing, which that was a little bit difficult because there are some lists around. So you have the corporate members of the OpenStreetMap Foundation, you have the list of organized mapping on the wiki as well, but there's a lot of contributions that are hidden, right? So I tried to send a mail to all the people who appeared as corporate members in the OpenStreetMap Foundation, also as a list of organized editing teams, and as well as some companies that I met in OpenStreetMap events, and also whoever the interviewee suggested at the end of the interview as well. And with all of that, I managed to get a list of 25 companies, some big, some smaller ones. And and then I just interviewed to ask what is the current situation, right? So how are they using the data? How are they contributing to OpenStreetMap and the barriers and motivations they have to do so?
Were companies quite receptive to doing these interviews, or did anyone refuse? Or
yeah, no, it was mostly fine. Most companies. So what happened is that a lot of the times I send a mail and then no one answered, but whoever answered was very receptive to do the interview. So it was mostly good. Yeah.
Okay, and so what did you learn?
Yeah, so I learned a lot of things. First of all, I learned how are companies using the data, right, and why. So mostly companies are just using it to enrich their own services. So for example, I know, Ed, that you have this geocoding service, right? So
yes.
In your case, it's very
core to the
service indeed. And this happens to other companies as well. There are some companies which is core to the service, and there are some companies which just use it to enrich and give a little bit extra to their service, right? And why do they choose OpenStreetMap? Because the quality by itself is good enough compared to other sources that are around, but also its license allows for reuse and allows for commercial use as well, right? So if we compare it to other sources like Google Maps that are very much restrictive and also more expensive, right? In the case of OpenStreetMap, that is more cost effective to the companies.
I mean, if I can chime in with my own experience here, it is interesting. So we operate this geocoding service, and many customers come to us without any awareness of what OpenStreetMap is, or maybe they've heard the term OpenStreetMap, but they don't really know the details of what that means and who can contribute and the license terms and things like that. So, and fundamentally, I would say the main driving factor is what many people want is they want Google Maps, but much cheaper, particularly in certain geographies, obviously, where cost is more of a factor. Which is totally legitimate. Obviously, no one likes spending money. What we find is quite interesting is then that opens the door to a dialogue with these companies. Not with all. I mean, of course, not to say that all of our customers become, you know, enthusiastic OpenStreetMap contributors, but certainly some do. And then when they kind of have the aha moment when they realize they can fix things and you know, aspects like storing the data forever are huge, is absolutely huge.
Yeah, and even as you mentioned, becoming contributors, I think that's really good, and that's one of the other things companies mention, which is the community, right? The big community that keeps things up to date, it's one of the driving factors to also use OpenStreetMap data.
Sure.
So, yeah. So that's very good to see.
So any thoughts on how we can get more companies involved, or what were the conclusions of, I mean, now that we understand the status quo of why these companies are doing this, how do we scale it up big time? Because I feel like it's still very, very small, the number of, you know, if you go to the OpenStreetMap Foundation corporate sponsors page, it's so minimal compared with the global impact of OpenStreetMap. I mean, you see OpenStreetMap maps everywhere now. And then you see the list of supporting companies, and it's, you know, it's 30 companies or whatever. It's not many.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that where I think we should really move forward is to try and get different type of companies on board, right? Because one thing that I see that I saw in my interviews is that most companies were just very technological, were very tech driven, and I think we're missing a lot of non-tech companies there. If you can imagine, for example, small businesses that keep their own business up to date in OpenStreetMap would be something that I think it's very beneficial to the project, but we're not seeing that so much. We have a lack of accurate point of interest data in a lot of places, right?
Yeah.
And as well, from part of the community, there's also some, let's say, there's some bad attitudes towards bigger companies, mostly. I think due to fear that they may take over the project. But yeah, and those things were also mentioned by the interviewees, right? So in case of big companies, they all mentioned that there are some issues sometimes with the community and trying to get their points through. Meanwhile, the smaller companies mostly mention as their barriers to contribute the fact that they don't have enough resources, right? So personnel, time, money.
Well, I mean, I wish there were more of an ecosystem around companies that help small businesses contribute. You know, a classic model is, you know, these agencies, many small businesses, especially non-technical small businesses, they're busy running their business, right? It's not realistic that they understand all the details of every technological thing. So the solution is, you know, they have an agency who does this for them, who maintains their website, who helps drive traffic to that website in whatever way. And potentially also maintains their entries in things like OpenStreetMap, but also Google Places, TripAdvisor, all these kinds of things. And, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. In the past, I know, at least in some communities, there's been big resistance to these type of agencies doing editing, partially because some of agencies have overstepped the boundaries, you know, and have been spammy. And obviously, we don't want spam, but we need to find a way to help or to work with these kind of multiplier organizations, because it's not realistic that every small business in the world is going to maintain and edit OpenStreetMap. That's just not going to happen, right? And if we don't find a way to work with these organizations, you know, whatever it is, establishing guidelines or better editing tools, or, you know, then we're going to miss out on those changes, right? And as an example, I know, in London, there's a startup that has presented at GeoMob several times called Localistico, and they help bigger companies that have many, many locations, you know, imagine like a Starbucks or something, you know, keep all that data up to date across all these different platforms, Facebook, Google, TripAdvisor. And, you know, for years, I mean, I know the founder, and I've been advising him, like, how do we do this with OpenStreetMap as well? And he's like, look, it's just too much of a pain to interact with the communities in all these different places. And, you know, that you get some negative response. But the thing is, I mean, he works with these companies, and so he has the official data of the company. I mean, this is the official data. Which doesn't mean it's perfect. Obviously, every data set has some problems, but, like, surely we would want, you know, and it's not just the location, it's things like the opening hours and all these kinds of things. It's very rich data. And the company wants this correct data to be out there. Everyone wants it to be correct, from the company to the agency to the OpenStreetMap community, and yet we're not able to put the chain together for whatever reason. And it's deeply frustrating. It's deeply frustrating because we would all benefit from this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's a mixture of lack of tools and also lack of maybe communication between the companies and the community, and lack of more integration. So it would be nice to have the communities more integrated. And I think that's already happening. I've been starting to see a shift in bigger companies. And this was indeed mentioned by another researcher in the State of the Map in Nairobi, by Benjamin Herford from the University of Heidelberg. He mentioned that the paid editing is decreasing in the last years. And that I think it's not because the company's involvement is decreasing, but rather because it's been shifting. And it's been shifting towards contributing in different ways. And that's one of the things that I discovered with my research is that I had this idea at the beginning that companies just contributed with data, but they also contribute in more ways. They contribute with funding towards the foundation and also sponsoring to events. And as well, they contribute in tools, in tool making there. So there are companies who contribute with geocoders, with editors, with and some of them are open and available for all the community to contribute. And as well, they contribute in building communities. Imagine some small company, they're interested in a very specific niche, and then they may start a small community in their area on that or in that specific topic. So that's, I think, beneficial for everyone. So if we can diversify the companies and the communities, I think that's a win-win for everyone, right?
Well, I agree completely. Obviously, we need... we need a rich ecosystem that embraces, you know, organizations of all shapes and sizes, from the global tech giants down to, you know, very small businesses that maybe they're only active in their very local community or whatever. But, you know, we win by having everyone at all. The challenge of mapping the world is massive, and not just mapping it, but keeping it up to date and maintenance and things like that. So yeah, it requires a huge spectrum of tools and motivations, and that's what we need. I think we still have there are many organizations that are contributing a lot. I think we have a long way to go, and I think it's like a drop in the bucket to what we could be doing. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts of how to better encourage that, and how to, you know, based on this research, what is kind of the next step? What is the action that comes out of it?
So yeah, one of the things that I asked for as well was about the motivations to contribute, right? And the motivations were kind of mixed between private own value, so what benefits the business, right? So, for example, improving the quality in OpenStreetMap benefits the business because the businesses are using the data itself. So improved quality means better services for the clients. But as well, because of a more social value and social corporate value. So I think if we manage to get those motivations, if we manage to get them to more companies to be motivated and to see the value in contributing, then there could be more contribution. So we have to somehow, I still don't know how, but that's what I'm trying to learn in my research, in my further research, try how to motivate these companies into contributing more and how to make it so it benefits them as well. One of the things that people really like when I presented my work in Łódź in Poland, in the State of the Map Europe, is that I mentioned that we are all benefiting from OpenStreetMap. Even you and I, we're all benefiting from OpenStreetMap. We're contributing for a reason, even as individuals, right? And if we can also have reasons for companies to contribute, they will just do it because it's beneficial for them. So I think OpenStreetMap is allowing that, and we should be working towards it even more and more to make everyone welcome and to feel that they can also benefit from it. And as long as there's this mutual, there's this win-win situation, it's really good for the project and for the ecosystem.
I'm glad you mentioned your presentation in Poland last summer at State of the Map Europe. What was the reaction to your talk from the community members who were there listening? Any feedback or any, what was the response?
So I was a bit scared at the beginning because you know that sometimes this topic of companies is a little bit controversial. But actually, no, people were really happy with the presentation and really congratulate me on identifying the key factors of it. And as I told you, the main thing that they really got out of it is that OpenStreetMap is beneficial for everyone, and as long as everyone contributes, it keeps on being beneficial for everyone, and we can all make something out of it. So that's really good to see.
I can say from my own experience, very, very often, the experience that happens for us is someone, a customer who's a user of our geocoder, they, usually I'm dealing with the software developer. So they have gotten a feedback from someone else at their company that address is wrong or data is missing or whatever. And they come back to us and say, hey, the data, this address is wrong. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, can you fix it? And yeah, it's quite funny because usually, actually last week we had a customer in Brazil who wrote the, and I go back to him and said, look, man, I've never been to Brazil. Like, you can fix it. Who do you think knows more about Brazil, you or me? I mean, you live in Brazil and live in that area. So you can fix it, and here's how you do it. And of course, we have a tutorial page. But it's a long chain sometimes, because usually if I'm dealing with the software developer, it was reported by, let's say, the delivery driver out in the field, and that person may or may not be an employee of the company. It might be a subcontractor or something like that, or a customer of that company. And we need to, what I've found is, it's not that people are against fixing things. It's streamlining the whole process and making it as simple as possible. And this is where it's so critical that we have easy to use apps and things like that in the local language, of course, and with the local settings. And also, there are people out there who are just scared of editing because they think we're going to break something, which does happen, of course, sometimes. But, so it's really critical to have these tools that are made for the normal people, not the power tools for the software developers. And so that the delivery driver who's, in a stressful job, moving quickly in the field, maybe probably doesn't have the newest iPhone, has an older phone. And so we need the tools that work in that environment. And as I said, very critically in his local language, with, giving that person the power to make corrections and edits, but, making sure they don't shoot themselves in the foot and just, and erase half the city or whatever it is. And so it's hard. It's very hard. But what I find is that these people want to help. Once you make it clear to them how to help, and you make it clear that they can't, they shouldn't be able to break everything, and you've got to make it super simple. And if we can, as a community, can keep working on lowering those barriers and making it simple, then I think it's very natural that more and more people will contribute and help. In terms of the actual mapping. A second question is how we motivate companies to actually, sponsor the events, grow the community, join the OpenStreetMap Foundation and things like that. So,
I really like that you mentioned telling to your clients that they could fix it, because you're actually helping to create community, right?
Well, we do try. I mean, I have to say, some customers love this and are like, oh my God, that's amazing. Other customers, I get annoyed by it, I have to say. Some are like, what? It's not my job. I'm paying you to do the geocoding. Fix it. you know, and that can be frustrating sometimes because obviously, you know, I can't just map in, especially in regions of the world I know nothing about, but like, you know, I don't have the information. So it's not like I can go there and fix it.
Indeed, but I think it's something good that you're doing, that you are trying to diversify the community and create small communities in from your clients, right? And as you mentioned, having really easy tools is something really critical, right? Sometimes I believe that the OpenStreetMap is still a bit too technical for some people, so
it's way too technical.
So we have to really make it easy for everyone to contribute. And I think, for example, in the last years, the emergence of mobile phone apps that are really easy to use and to add data has been transforming, right? So I've also been organizing a lot of mapping parties since a lot of years ago, and you know, people came to collect the data on paper back a lot of years ago when it was done on paper, right? But then later, when it was time to upload the data into OSM with a computer, everyone disappeared. But right. now that we can collect it with our mobile phone, it's much, much more engaging. So
I think we can still do a lot more.
We can still do more, exactly. But if we can continue that trend and try to make even better and easier apps, that would be beneficial, yep. and that would get a lot of more people on board. Yes.
Well, Hector, I think this is a good point to kind of transition the conversation, because as we talk about how to motivate companies to, you know, join the OpenStreetMap Foundation and things like that, I think it's great that you're here, because you are now on the OpenStreetMap Foundation board. So congratulations on your recent election. Tell us a bit about that. What prompted you to run, first of all? And, you know, how I know you just started, you know, maybe like a month ago or something. So, but what are your hopes for your time on the board?
Yeah, so as I told you, I've been contributing for so many years, and every year I've been getting more and more involved in the more international community. So first I started with just myself editing, then I joined a local community. Then I started traveling as well. I joined other communities. Then I went to State of the Map. And then it happened in the State of the Map Europe in Poland, where I heard it was Dorothea and Mateusz that were there. And they were actually encouraging people to apply for the upcoming board election. And I was like, maybe I should do it, right? And now, of course, that I'm also researching about OpenStreetMap, I think it's a really good time, because I'm already quite heavily invested into it. And of course, as well, the research job makes for a more flexible schedule, right? So that allows me to also invest sometimes a bit more time to the board, sometimes less time, depending on how much work I have. But overall, I have a more flexible schedule. So I think
really not minor, because my impression is it's not a small commitment, man. I mean, the
open world
is so big now, and there's so much happening. You know, I've never been on the board, but I know as many people who have, and they often say it's difficult to fathom just how many things are going on. And people, you know, people sometimes are like, oh, why can't we get a decision on this or that? But, you know, if you're making 100 involved in 100 conversations, it's hard to devote any one of them the needed attention. So,
yeah, and that has been one of the most difficult things. Well, just you know, after joining, I had to figure out how everything works in a really short amount of time, so then I can start working and making an impact right away. Right. So the first month that I've been on the board has been really just learning mostly. And then we just had recently our first online meeting, and then we just decided which positions do we want to have. So especially collaborating with different working groups and doing the liaison, so the communication between the working group and the board to then make the decisions on the board. So I think this is really nice, and now that I'm starting to learn how it all works, I think it will really
What are your hopes for your time on the board? What if you look back at the end and say, "Oh, we accomplished," or you know, I got to work on A, B, and C. What would those things be?
Yes. So one of the biggest idea that I have is, as I told you before, is related to actually with the companies, right? So I want to make this change to make more non-tech companies contribute. That would be my ultimate dream and hope for these 2 years. And apart from that, just grow the community and also diversify it in general, and continue the work that has been going on in the foundation already. So we have to finish the move to the EU, and we also have to like that contribute and diversify the community because, for example, and as I see that as someone that I'm from Spain, and Spain doesn't have an organized community. Spain doesn't have a local chapter, right? So, you know, I feel that a lot of these, a lot of regions in the world, a lot of also different groups, maybe not regional group, but also topic groups, are being underrepresented, and that's something that I also really want to work towards. So, yes,
yeah, I think that the situation there has improved a bit over the years, but obviously there's always more to do. And particularly if you look at the companies, I mean, I was looking over your research and you said, I looked at the list of the companies that you interviewed and it was like, you know, half were from the US and another, you know, 20-30% were from Germany.
Yeah.
or let's say Northern Europe, especially. It wasn't particularly diverse in that regard. So I think we have a ways to go also to encourage companies, organizations of all types to get involved. I mean, it may be that companies in other regions are more involved in their local communities rather than the global OpenStreetMap community, but surely there's more we could do there.
Yeah, we have to identify potential work collaborations and work towards that. But indeed, you know, in the current list of also corporate members, you don't really see many companies outside of Europe and North America, right? You see a smaller cluster in Southeast Asia or South Asia, but it's mostly Europe and North America, right? So it is really good to diversify that and have companies of all types, technical, non-technical, big and small, and also from all corners of the world. That would make the project much, much better, for sure.
Well, very nice, Hector. Maybe in a year or so, we can get you back on the show and you can give us an update on how it's going, or maybe one of your colleagues on the board, actually. Or, of course, also at a GeoMob event. I don't know. I don't know where you're from in Spain, but maybe you want to come speak at a GeoMob Barcelona or...
Yeah, if I'm in Spain during those times, I could surely drop by because I currently live in Italy.
Right.
But also Italy is anyways not so far away. But yeah, if I'm in Spain, I would gladly go to Barcelona. I'm from a city called Zaragoza, which is
right,
just
of course, not that far away.
Yeah, it's just 1.5 hour away by train, so it's easy to drop
all
by.
Right. Well, I'm going to ping you the next time once we set the date of the next event. So it would be good to
perfect.
Have you. So, right. Before we wind up here, if the conversation has sparked ideas or feedback, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So the best way to get in touch with me is through my LinkedIn, especially if it's work related, right? I check their quite often. So if you just drop me a message by there, then I'll probably answer quite fast.
Okay, great. We'll of course have that in the show notes along with links about the project and the research and, you know, people can check it out and give you feedback. So thanks very much for coming on the show, Hector.
Thanks a lot for having me here. And yeah, I hope to see you in the future as well.
See you soon, man.
See Bye. You soon. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.